When I'm not hosting this podcast, I am writing books, but it is really hard for me to write when I'm at home, so I like to find remote cabins in the middle of nowhere to just hang out and write. But I hate the idea of my house just sitting empty, doing nothing but collecting dust and definitely not collecting checks. And that's why I'm an Airbnb host. It's one of my all-time favorite side hustles. Other popular side hustles are awesome too, don't get me wrong, but they often involve big startup costs. By hosting your space, you're monetizing what you already have access to. It doesn't get easier than that. And if you're new to the side hustle game and you're anxious about getting started, don't worry because you're not in this alone. Airbnb makes it super easy to host. I mean, if I could do it, you could do it. And your home might be worth a lot more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I'm Nicole Lappin, the only financial expert you don't need a dictionary to understand. It's time for some money rehab. It is time for a funny money episode. These are the episodes where I give bizarre headlines in the worlds of business and finance, and a comedian gives their famously non-expert insight on the topic. Today, my guest is the hilarious Sarah Tiana. Sarah is a stand-up comedian, a writer, a roast master. Her latest special, 44, is on YouTube, and after listening to this episode, you are going to want to check it out ASAP. Today, we cover the weird news coming from the Eclipse economy, a scandal in the MLB, and I'm just going to say she is definitely not a non-expert there. And Sarah's favorite restaurant. Cracker Barrel. Here she is. Sarah Tiana, welcome to Money Rehab.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited to have you. Have you ever needed money rehab?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not good with money. I've never been good with money. Even like growing up with our allowance, my sister and I, like we would get $1 a week or $2 a week. And my parents always said, and this was a great thing that they said, which was like, we'll buy you anything you want as long as you pay for half. So if you pay for half, you can have whatever. And my sister and I were like, we're going to get a trampoline. We just have to save up for 80 weeks. Right? And by like week four, I was like, no, I like candy. And I just like spent mine. And my sister saved the whole time. So we're the opposite. She's way better at saving.
So she
I'm better now.
Got the trampoline for you guys?
No, we never got it because I never saved.
Are you still in need of money rehab?
I'm always in need of money rehab. I'm always trying to learn new things, especially now that I'm a mother. And like we started a 529, I think it is, for for son, for school, you know, for his college fund or even high school if he has to go to private school or something. So we started that. And I'm just really learning. A big thing for me is that, you know, when I was first starting comedy, I was waiting tables and I was constantly work. Like I would spend all day working at the Beverly Hills Hotel pool. I would take a shower there, then go out at night and do comedy all night. And money just had all this power over me. I was always thinking about how I was going to pay my bills. Like, what am I going to do? And then I realized that when I'm thinking about money, I'm not thinking about comedy. And I had to let it go. I had to just like stop thinking about it and stop caring about it. Because I said, what I'm really nervous about is having to ask for help. I'm really just nervous that I have to ask my parents like, hey, can I have $100 for my electric bill? So once I let it go and I started just thinking, using all that energy to think about something else, I always had it. And so that has been my mentality with money is like, I don't think about it. I do put it away. Like I do have like a stash account and a Coinbase account that just like takes money out every month. But that's like the extent of savings that I do. And even when I remember once a show I was working on didn't get picked up and I was really nervous about what my next job was going to be. So I bought a car. I went out and bet on myself. And I was like, if I need money, I'm just going to be like, nope, I need to get a car. So the universe is going to be there for me. And then it was. So I don't know if I'm lucky or stupid, but
okay. Well, you're definitely not stupid. Don't talk about my new friend like that. But it definitely matters. Money mindset matters. Like it sounds like you were more in the abundance versus scarcity mindset. And listen, I'm not like here for all the woo woo stuff, but I do think that there is, you know, the biggest enemy for money is between our ears. And so once you quiet that mean girl inside your head, it's not surprising that you were able to hit a stride in work. And, you know, the law of attraction, again, not to be too woo-woo, although I'm bringing up woo-woo things, to go buy a car when you need money is counterintuitive. But this idea that when you put money out in the universe, it kind of comes back to you. Sounds like that happened as well. But also, can we talk about the $50 salads at the Beverly Hills Hotel
oh my God.
Pool? What the actual fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Are they made of magical
pixie dust? Yes, it is literally just dollar bills chopped up there. It's called the McCarthy salad. That's our most expensive salad. It is a very good salad, like because it's one that you can eat with a spoon. And my whole problem with salads is always that I don't like getting dressing on my face. And you know, when you have the big leaves, you're like, it's always just like you can barely fit it, the whole piece of lettuce into your mouth. And like, but the McCarthy salad you can eat with a spoon. So I don't think it's worth $50, but it is a very good.
It's true. All right. Before we get into funny money, I want to ask you, what is up with Cracker Barrel?
What is up with Cracker Barrel? You mean
your
the greatest sit-down restaurant?
Says sent from Cracker Barrel, which I'm obsessed with. I thought my email signature was clever. Tell me more.
It used to be that if it came from my computer, it said sent from Waffle House, and it came. And if it came from my cell phone, it said sent from Cracker Barrel. But now I think it's always the same. Cracker Barrel has a big significance to me because it was the first sit down restaurant we ever got in my hometown. Like, we'd never seen waitresses before. We're like, oh, is this prom? Like, we were just so excited, and it was busy all the time. And that's when I realized I didn't go to church. Like. Because my friends were complaining about how busy Cracker Barrel was. And I was like, oh, well, we go every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and there ain't nobody in there. So that was a really difficult way of learning that we were sinners. But I also have this feeling that, like, that's why my friends from home never got on an airplane before. Like, most of my friends never traveled because they would say things like, well, I never left nothing in New York I need to go get, right? And I'm like, oh, what a terrible mentality. But they have all these opinions on New Yorkers. They never been. And I was like, they never wanted to get on an airplane. And I was always just convinced that it wasn't the price of the ticket. It was that they were afraid they're going to get off the airplane and there wasn't going to be a Cracker Barrel. And they'd be like, where are we going to get a steak in New York? Cracker Barrel is a big part. I'm from Calhoun, Georgia. We have a Nike outlet.
That's excellent. I like Cracker Barrel. I worked at different small markets when I was in the broadcasting world, and like Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Lexington, Kentucky. Like, I always liked Cracker Barrel. I was vegan back then, and so the grits, fun fact, are vegan at Cracker Barrel, and then the fried apples too. They're delicious.
Wow.
And Cracker Barrel is a publicly traded company. Would you invest?
Also,
do you invest?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think because they're expanding, like, we finally got one in Southern California when I moved here. I assumed that they would be everywhere, but they never came to California because California has earthquake restrictions, and they make Cracker Barrel take everything off the ceiling. So Cracker Barrel's like, fuck you, out there. You know what I mean? Nobody can eat hash brown casserole without a wheelbarrow hanging above their head. And so
not the same. Yeah.
Right. But but now they've gotten around it because now they just have it on the wall, like extra stuff on the wall. So you just have like old ladies from the 1800s staring at you while you eat, but that makes me comfortable.
The stock, by the way, I will say, is down 44% over the last year, while the general market has been up.
I wonder if that's because less people are traveling, because Cracker Barrel was such a traveler's restaurant. They were always near the freeway. They're rarely, like, you know, inland, so to speak. But also truckers, people like that, you could get a book on tape and then you could return it at any Cracker Barrel. So it was really like a traveler's paradise, like for people in RVs or people on just like a road trip vacation. But I don't feel like people take as many road trip vacations anymore.
And maybe if they want a book on tape, they get Audible.
Yeah, a podcast, right? It's just like on your phone. You can't really play a book on tape anymore.
Mm-mm. All right, sister, it is time for some funny money. I'm going to throw some bizarre headlines your way from the worlds of business and finance, and then I'll be the money expert. You be the funny expert.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's go.
So first, obviously, we had to pull a Cracker Barrel headline. Cracker Barrel's first ever yard sale of antique restaurant decor items sold out in 30 minutes. Are you surprised?
Oh, not surprised. you know, everybody loves a yard sale in a small town and everybody loves Cracker Barrel. So they're probably there anyway. They're just like, might as well pick up this hacksaw from the 1800s.
Are you bummed you missed it?
Yeah,
or did I'm you bummed miss I missed it. Were you there?
No, I was there. Yeah, I got myself. I remember when my family got the rocking chairs from Cracker Barrel because you can buy them.
Oh.
The ones out in front. I also have the giant checkers. I mean, I probably already have a bunch of the stuff from Cracker Barrel, but
we need a yard sale. Come on now.
They're expensive rocking chairs. I think they're like $200. Like, they're not messing around.
The solar eclipse just happened. As you know, experts were predicting a significant boom for retail in towns and cities along the path of totality. Altogether, the eclipse's economic impact might be as big as $6 billion between hotels, flights, restaurants, maybe some Cracker Barrels along the way, and souvenirs. What did you think of the eclipse?
I mean, my eyes still hurt. I looked at it. No, we were actually here at the office and somebody had the glasses. I saw that Amazon recalled the glasses. I love that. Just people were just going out with sunglasses like, oh, these will help. Like, no, it won't. And then somebody had a piece of paper. It's like a white printer paper. And then they would hold it in the sun and then you could see on the ground the shadow. We watched it.
Oh,
I love the eclipse because then it makes it feel like night and you can start drinking at 11 a.m. So that's what I started to do. I'm like, well, technically it's dark out.
Perfect. Yeah, I think there was some crazy thing with Fox News being like, watch out for the border. It's dark for 4 minutes. Migrants are going to come in.
Yeah, Fox News isn't a fan of anything dark.
Nope.
So if it ain't blonde and white, it's probably trouble.
If you're in the path of totality, the eclipse is expected to last, as you know, 4 minutes. That's it. $6 billion, though, Sarah, for 4 minutes is not a bad wage for the eclipse. Like, would you be the eclipse's agent?
That's I'd a like good to rate. Marry the eclipse. If it's $6 billion for 4 minutes, I'd like to marry the eclipse so I could get $3 billion in a divorce.
Next up, though, 54% of Gen Z taxpayers said filing their taxes this year has either brought them to tears in the past or they expect it to bring them to tears this year. Have your taxes ever made you cry?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I live in California. My taxes make me cry all the time. And I'm incorporated. We pay, what are the 4 times a year that you pay in? And like, oh, yeah, it's a lot. But I would pay 80% in taxes to live in California. Like, I don't care. Like, we don't have bugs and snakes and rain. So I don't care. I would pay more to live here.
They couldn't pay you to go back to Calhoun, which I assume has bugs.
No, bugs. It's like mosquitoes constantly, snakes. Nope. I'm good. I don't need tornadoes or rain. No.
We have the sunshine tax, we have the bug-free tax, and you're down with it.
Yeah, you know, I always say, like, we had a lot of rain in March, and I was like, if it rains one more day, I move into a state that takes away my rights. Like, this is not what I pay 80% in taxes for.
Yeah, I want a refund.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I remember the first year, though, that I was incorporated, and we paid my taxes all at one lump sum. And I thought it was the first time I had never gotten money back. I'd always been able to get money back because I didn't make a lot. And then when I really started making six figures, I was like, oh, like the more money you make, the more taxes you pay until you hit a million. Right. And then, but I don't make a million. So I'm still paying, you know, 30, 40% on top of agent fees. So I'm paying double. And then Donald Trump took away where you get a write-off from paying your agents. He took that away. So now it's like you're paying twice. Like, they're paying taxes twice. Like, I'm paying them off the top, and then I pay taxes, and then they have to pay taxes of what I paid them. So I'm like, that's double dipping. That's not fair.
That's not fair.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So breaking it up into quarterly taxes makes you feel better, even though you know it's the same.
I know it's the same, but it's just easier. It's just easier. And for a while, I was getting money from a commercial. I'm very blessed. Like, I was in a Navy Federal Credit Union commercial like 9 years ago.
Oh.
And it's still running. And
That's
so
awesome.
It's amazing.
Do you ask them for like some an account or some money in Navy Federal. That's a great credit union, by the way.
It's a great credit union. I should probably move my money there, but no, I didn't. I mean, I feel like I make enough off of them. But, you know, we just converted it to the corporation forever. It was just paying me and it took a bunch of taxes out. So that, to me, I was great. I was like, yes, take all those taxes out so I can get all that money back at the end of the year and then pay for my corporation taxes. But it wasn't crossing over perfectly. So now we converted it to the LLC. And I mean, it's nice to see that big chunk come in, but I just go, anytime I get a job, I go, is it worth it? Because I'm only going to bring home half. Is it worth it? That's how I have to figure everything.
Yeah, I think that I have maybe like cried tears. Definitely, I've been an anxious ball of mess around taxes. Like, I definitely irrationally think I'm going to go to jail.
Really? Are you cheating on your taxes?
No, I'm definitely not. I'm like probably overpaying. And, you know, I want to do everything right, but I have like an irrational fear.
I get that where, you know, because the IRS doesn't make it easy, but also like I don't mind paying taxes. I'm actually, you know, I'm totally fine with it. I just want to see the results of what I'm paying for. So like if I'm gonna pay 40%, I would like there not to be potholes all down my road,
right?
I would like for the grass to be mowed along the bike path, because this is what my state and city taxes are for. I'd like national health care. You know, I would like women's bodies to be more protected. So like, I don't mind paying the taxes, but you got to give me something back. So that's the only time I get mad about it is when I'm like, I don't see the perks.
Hold on to your wallets. Money Rehab will be right back. Money Rehabbers, you have money hidden in your house. Yeah, just hiding there in plain sight. Okay, so I don't mean you have gold bars hidden somewhere in walls, treasure map style, but you do have a money-making opportunity that you're just leaving on the table if you're not hosting on Airbnb. It's one of my all-time favorite side hustles. By hosting your space, you are monetizing what you already own. It doesn't get easier than that. For me, hosting on Airbnb has always been a no-brainer. When I first signed up, I remember thinking to myself, self, you pay a lot of money for your house. It is time that house returned the favor. And to get real with you for a sec, I felt so much guilt before treating myself on vacation because traveling can be so expensive. But since hosting on Airbnb, I feel zero stress for treating myself to a much needed vacation because having Airbnb guests stay at my house when I'm traveling helps offset the cost of my travel. So it's such a win-win. I mean, if I could do it, you could do it. And your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Do you ever get FOMO, fear of missing out? Well, do you ever get FOMO-tupita, fear of missing out on the perfect hire? If so, I have the antidote. It's LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In any given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites, and that adds up to a serious squad of awesome candidates. LinkedIn has over a billion professionals on the platform, and these candidates are super qualified. So much so that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within just 24 hours. I work with LinkedIn Jobs for all of my dream team needs, so they're hooking up Money Rehabbers at linkedin.com/MNN. Go there and you can post your job for free. That's linkedin.com/MNN, as in Money News Network, to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. And now for some more Money Rehab. All right. I know you're a big sports fan. I have some headlines from the sports world for you. Los Angeles Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani is in the middle of a gambling scandal. His former interpreter was fired following accusations that he stole more than $4 million from Shohei to cover his illegal gambling debts. But it's unclear, apparently, whether the interpreter stole from the baseball star or whether Shohei himself was paying debts that the interpreter had incurred. If you were his lawyer, what advice would you give?
Well, I would have told him not to play for the Dodgers because the Dodgers have mismanaged every aspect of this. They've lied at certain points. You know, you remember when Kate Middleton with the royal family, when they were like, oh, she's just in a hospital. And then they go, well, she said, oh no, she's coloring, you know, like they just kept lying. And you're like, you're making it what? Like, now we don't trust you for anything. And so the Dodgers have said all the wrong things. They've released different stories. Like the interpreter talked to ESPN and then gave his story. Then the Dodgers walked it back. Then they walked it back again. They go, oh no, it was actually stealing from him. It was just a huge mess. And so nobody knew who to believe. And so you have to go, did Shohei Ohtani, who, you know, makes $60 million a year, did he just not notice 9 different transactions of $500,000 going out? And, you know, if you're a bank, you know, you have to call a bank to make a transaction that big. If you're a bank and you hear a Japanese person on the phone and then they go, well, we need to talk to Mr. Ohtani. And then that guy goes, okay, hold on. And then he comes back and acts like Shohei Ohtani. Like, would you be able to tell who is who? Like, I doubt it. And so I think it's very plausible that the interpreter stole from him. I find it less plausible that Ohtani didn't know about it. And maybe he probably just didn't know that you weren't allowed to bet through a bookie, because that's honestly what it's the investigation is. The investigation is through the IRS. It really has nothing to do with, like, baseball can't do anything about it. It's the FBI that is making the investigation, because you're not allowed to bet through a bookie. And that's what the interpreter was doing. So if I was Shohei's lawyer, I would say don't sign with the Dodgers, because they keep mismanaging every aspect of this. But also, like, just don't lie. Just be, you know, be honest.
Yeah. This shouldn't be breaking news, but yes.
Yeah, then you don't have to keep track of your lies.
That's why I don't do it, because I forget. Yeah. I would forget.
Yeah, me too.
Owning
a
sports team is actually a way the ultra rich, Sarah, beat the tax system. Sports owners can take deductions on team assets, everything from media deals to player contracts. And that helps them pay way lower tax rates at extreme levels. For example, Steve Ballmer, the owner of the LA Clippers, who reportedly made $656 million in 2021, had a 12% tax rate, which was lower than the tax rate of concession stand workers at the stadium. If you were trying to lose money, which sports team would you buy?
Oh, if I was trying to lose money? Gosh. I mean, the Oakland A's are always the example. The thing is, you can't really lose money as an owner. That's why teams don't go up for sale. Like, people are always like, oh, because I always said, if I won the Powerball, if I won $1 billion, I would buy a baseball team. Like, that's my dream. And then people go, oh, you would just lose money. I go, no, I wouldn't. Like, they only go up in value. That's why they're never for sale. Like, the fact that the Orioles were just sold is insane. Like, nobody sells baseball teams. Even the worst teams in the league. The problem is the worst teams in the league are spending like $30 million on payroll. But the baseball does something called a revenue share. So all the revenue created in baseball gets put into a pot. And then all the 30 teams in Major League Baseball get to share that revenue. So, and that revenue last year, I think, was $140 million per team. So you're getting a check for $140 million for doing nothing. And if your payroll is $30 million instead of, like, the Dodgers payroll is $300 million, or, you know, $285 or something like that a year. And the Oakland A's is $33 million. And they go, well, you know, we're just in a small market. And you go, uh-huh. Like, you're getting $140 million from Major League Baseball before concessions, before, you know, your own parking lot sales, like, whatever it is, you've already got that money. So you're just pocketing $100 million a year. Don't tell me that you can't afford to have better players on your team. So I think the problem in baseball is that we have a salary cap, but there's no salary minimum. Like, you should at least have to pay $100 million for the players on your team so that you are putting a good product on the field and you're being competitive. Mm. I think that, to me, is the bigger issue. Obviously, like, I would love to pay 12% in taxes. Like, that would be a dream. But that's what happens. Like, the more money you get, the less taxes you pay, which is obnoxious.
That's right. And it doesn't just happen with baseball and basketball. Happens for football. They rarely trade. Hedge fund manager extraordinaire David Tepper recently bought the Panthers. You know, the Walmart family has the Broncos. And, you know, and on and on.
The Braves. Yeah, my team, the Atlanta Braves, just became publicly traded. So I bought stock in the Braves, and that's
Yeah,
part
you
of my
did.
stash. Yeah.
Love that for
So I
you.
think I buy like $50 of Braves stock every month or whatever.
I'm so
Just
sorry. I
have it.
didn't realize who I was talking to.
Oh, yeah. Just I'm just a big part of the stock market.
Just a sports owner. The NCAA tournament national title game between South Carolina and the Iowa Hawkeyes was the most watched basketball game, including NBA and WNBA, since 2019, according to ESPN. Women in sports are fighting for equal representation, and one area where they have made some traction is as referees. I know you have some thoughts about their qualifications.
Oh,
What should
yes. You know, I think we're really good at knowing about 3 second violations and 10 second violations just from our own sex lives. But I really love female referees in the NFL. Like, I think only women should be referees. Like, who better at telling men what they are doing wrong? Like, I feel like we
Yes.
are overqualified for this job. Like, you think I didn't see it?
We've had a lifetime of practice.
Yeah, a lifetime of practice. It's like people go, when I go to baseball games, I keep the book, right? I keep the book. And people are like, why do you keep score? I go, it's not enough for me to know when a man made a mistake. I want to know the exact minute he made a mistake so that I have receipts, right? Like, I feel like only women should be third base coaches. Like, we're very good at telling men to go home. Like, these are all reasons that we should be more involved in sport.
There she is, keeping her score. Fantasy baseball generates an estimated $3.64 billion in revenue, and it's the second most popular sport for fantasy teams after football. With this in mind, can you tell our dear listeners about your observations about men believing that they can become professional athletes?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I mean, my boyfriend does this all the time. Like, I feel like the whole reason that we're together is so he has somebody to look whenever he says, babe, watch this, right? Like, you know, and when I finally give him the attention that he's craving, I will see that he's crinkled up a piece of paper into a tight little ball. And, you know, and then he'll take his art and he'll throw it at the trash can or anything that's open, you know, like the hamper,
Steph
dishwasher,
Curry,
my
watch
mouth.
out.
And, you know, he'll make it, you know, like 40% of the time. And it's my job as his girlfriend to be like, oh my God, you're amazing from downtown. Like, you should be in the NBA. You should be in the NBA. Like, this is why the Knicks suck, because they're not scouting for guys on their couch in the middle of the valley. But it is interesting, like, that, like, no matter how old a man becomes, he never truly loses the idea of becoming a professional athlete. Like, it just lingers back there in their brains like a little plan B. Like, I just gotta hit the gym a couple more days, apply myself. That's why men wear jerseys. Like, they're not
Let me
fans.
in,
They're like,
coach.
yeah, they're like, I can sub. Do you need a sub? I'll sub. So obnoxious.
All right, Sarah, we end our episodes by asking our guests for a money tip listeners can take straight to the bank. I'd love to know any money tip that you've learned that works for you. It can be anything money related around negotiating, investing, budgeting, saving, buying a sports team, being part of a sports team, anything.
For sure, invest in a sports team. For me personally, my best advice is always to just like, I have my stash account. Like, it just automatically deducts from my checking account every 2 weeks. And I've picked a lot of safe stocks. And so that just gets deducted. And I don't think about it. I don't care about it. And it's just in there. And like, every couple of months, I'll check it and I'll be like, oh, wow, I didn't know I had that much money. So I think blindly saving money and but putting it in a safe place. And then we also put money into our kids' fund 529. I know you can only put like 10 grand a year in there, but it'll be so worth it once they get to college.
Money Rehab is a production of Money News Network. I'm your host, Nicole Lappin. Money Rehab's executive producer is Morgan Lavoie. Our researcher is Emily Holmes. Do you need some money rehab? And let's be honest, we all do. So email us your money questions, moneyrehab@moneynewsnetwork.com, to potentially have your questions answered on the show or even have a one-on-one intervention with me. And follow us on Instagram @moneynews and TikTok @moneynewsnetwork for exclusive video content. And lastly, thank you. No, seriously, thank you. Thank you for listening and for investing in yourself, which is the most important investment you can make.